Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all, and thank you very much for making it to church today. Welcome to the Restoration Center of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family. Thank you, all those of you here present in person. And I also want to extend my thanks to anyone who is joining us online. We appreciate all of you. Without you, there will be nobody to minister to. And thank you very much once again for every single one of you. And today, as you are aware, God bless you. You may be seated, please. It's Mother's Day, and we are glad that we have an opportunity to celebrate our mothers once again. Every year during the second Sunday of the month of May, all across the world, mothers are celebrated and acknowledged. And if it is not asking too much of you, we want to ask all our mothers, all our wives, all potential mothers to just rise to your feet and let us know.
When I fall, now you lift me up. When I cry, now you wipe my tears. Every night you did pray for me. Even when nobody they see, you carry my matter for your head. You fight battles I never know. Through the storm and through the pain, mama never let me go.
Your love no dey tire, ma. Your heart like fire. Even when the road no clear, mama still you dey there. Prayer they follow. Mama na angel, oh. Heaven will send you.
If I sing 1 million songs,
it still no reach you.
Just to make our life complete.
Even when the money low, mama said they find a way.
Find a way.
God will bless you. Double, double for the love you give every day.
Give every day.
Your love no be tired. Your heart like fire. Everywhere I go for life, mama be my mind. Mama na bless you. Mama na favor. Anywhere I go, your prayer they follow.
Can we clap our hands and celebrate all mothers again? Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. At the tail end of the service, we're going to pray for you, mothers. And you are our heroes, right? Or heroines. Because of all that you do for us. God bless you, mothers. May He grant you long life. May He grant you peace on every side. May He give you good health.
Amen.
May He give you the wisdom that you need to carry out your responsibilities.
Amen.
And may you change and transform destinies by your lives and by your inputs. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. And this morning, I want to share a Mother's Day message with you. Title of my message is How a Mother Can Change the Destiny of a Child. How a Mother Can Change the Destiny of a Child. And we're going to read a long passage of scripture. But if you can't do that in church, in the house of the Lord, the question is, where else can you do it? So please come along with me. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're reading 28 verses. I'm glad somebody didn't say A. Because if you had said A, I would have said to you that you to A some. Do you see? 1 Samuel chapter 1, reading from verse 1 from the New Living Translation. Follow me as I read, please. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. And each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? What's the answer?" Verse 9. Once, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow: "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair would never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger. But I'm very discouraged and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, oh, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Whatever you think is best, Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise. As you can see, he took himself out of it. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted me my request. Now I am given to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshipped the Lord there. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for this time when your word is about to come forth. We've been blessed by the reading of the Holy Scriptures. And now as we get deeper into the scripture to understand certain scriptural and spiritual truths, I pray that you will cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. Grant us insight, grant us revelation in Jesus' mighty name. May all of us be blessed today as we hear your word. And in Jesus' matchless name have I prayed with thanksgiving. And everyone shall say, amen.
Amen.
And may I remind you again that the title of my sermon is How a Mother Can Change the Destiny of a Child. I'm sure that all of you have heard this statement before, that behind every successful man, there is a woman. Have you heard it before? How many are familiar with that statement? All right. Nobody really knows where that statement originated from. And nobody knows who was the first person to ever say so. You will not find this scripture in the Bible. So there's no point in saying that the Bible says behind every successful woman, behind every successful man, there is a woman. There's nowhere in the Bible where it is stated so. However, even though it is not scriptural, there is a lot of truth in it. Amen? And you will discover that there are many successful women, many successful men in life who were inspired, influenced, strengthened, encouraged by a woman. And often it was the mother, and in some cases it was the wife. So there's a lot of truth in it. And I can give you quite a few examples, both in contemporary life and then also from scripture. Let's take contemporary modern life, life that is connected to you and I today. We can talk of somebody like Abraham Lincoln, who was the 16th president of the United States of America. One day he said, "All that I am and hope to be is due to my angel mother." And he told how much his mother influenced his life and shaped him as he moved through life. Amen? We can talk of other people like John and Charles Wesley. Their mother, Susanna, had 19 children. She's laughing because she has an elder sister called Susanna. And she had 19 children, 19. And she brought them up under very difficult circumstances. And out of her children, two of them, I mean, I don't know about the others, but certainly two of them became very great. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist Church. Charles Wesley worked very closely with him. And there are many Methodist hymns that have blessed generations, which were composed by Charles Wesley. So they will tell you their story, that their mother influenced their lives greatly. Hallelujah. Amen. Thomas Edison. You know, he is the one who really worked on this electric bulb thing. And it was in his time that it was properly developed. There were other people who tried to invent the electric bulb. So it's not as though he was the one who invented it actually. But is the one who came out with a breakthrough discovery about how it can work. Now, this Thomas Edison, when he was very little, his teacher used to complain about him that he's too slow and he's a difficult child. All right? But the mother never accepted that. And his mother prayed over him. And he ended up becoming a great inventor. He invented so many things, and clearly his mother had a great influence over him. Barack Obama. Do you know Barack Obama?
Yes.
He doesn't live at Choco or any of those places. I'm talking about the president of the United States. I don't know what number of president he was, but he was president some time ago. The first black president of the United States of America. His mother influenced him greatly. And somebody will say that, Pastor, you're only talking about successful men. What about successful women? I can tell you, have you heard the names Serena and Venus Williams? Have you heard their names before?
Yes.
Who are they? They play tennis. Alright? They are black Americans who rose to great heights in the tennis in tennis, all right? And if you read the story of their lives, their mother had a great influence over them. So these are examples of successful men and women who, when you read the story of their lives, you can identify the great influence and the great impact that their mothers had over them. Let's bring it to the scriptures, shall we? All right, so we can talk about people like Moses, whose mother was called Jochebed. She influenced him. If it wasn't for certain decisions that the mother took, Moses would have been killed. All right, so his mother had a great influence over him. We can talk about, of course, Samuel, whom we just read about. We can talk about Timothy. All right, Timothy was a young pastor. We read about him in the Bible. There are three books in the Bible called pastoral epistles. And they are called pastoral epistles because they were written to pastors. Unlike all the other New Testament books, which were directed more at churches. Now, two of these pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, were written to this Timothy that I just mentioned. And was a young pastor. He was pastoring a very huge church in Ephesus. Then there was another young minister called Titus. So that's the other pastoral epistle. Now he was a pastoral leader who was tasked with the responsibility to sort out things in Crete. And settle things about leadership, church management, church organization. Now this Timothy, if you read the story of his life from the Bible, you will see that he was greatly influenced by his mother, Eunice, and by his grandmother, Lois. So his mother was called Winnie's, and his grandmother was called Lois. All right, so Eunice and Lois. Now, they influenced him. We don't hear anything about his father, unfortunately, but the Bible talks about the mother and the grandmother. So that's another example of a successful person we find in the scriptures who was influenced by the mother, and in this particular case, by his grandmother as well. Jesus was brought up by Mary. Do you think it is an easy job to be the mother of an extraordinary child? No, not at all. And certainly Mary helped to shape Jesus' earthly life. We can talk about Isaac, whose mother was Sarah. After Isaac was born, it was Sarah who wanted to tell Abraham that let Ishmael go, because I can see that he's making fun of the little boy. Abraham was distressed, but then God told him that, Tebesan, whatever she's saying, do. And if it was left to Abraham alone, he would have kept both of them in the house. But that was not God's plan. And God's plan was revealed through Sarah. And that's how come Isaac was brought up in a certain kind of environment, free from mockers and taunters. Hallelujah. So that's another example we can talk about. Have I given you enough example? You want more? John the Baptist. She brought up John. Elizabeth brought up John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a spiritual child. It takes a spiritual woman to bring up a spiritual child. Is that not so? Bathsheba brought up Solomon. You don't hear much about her, and the first time she shows up in scripture, the story is not too good. All right? But you know, before David died, one of his sons wanted to take over the kingship. It was Bathsheba who went to see David and told him that you made a promise that this our son will be king. And his brother is trying to stage a kind of coup against him. Please, sort it out. It was after David heard this that the issue was settled, and it became clear that the one who was to succeed him was Solomon. Then Samson's mother, somebody who also had a great influence over him. Now there's another gentleman that you may not know much about, but his name is King Lemuel. He's the one who wrote Proverbs 31. Bible theologians are not sure who exactly he was. Some feel that it was another name for Solomon. Others feel that he was a king from another land. But when you read through Proverbs 31, which talks about the virtuous woman, you know, there were words that were penned down by this king, Lemuel. And from what he wrote, you can see that his mother had great influence over him. What have I done, ladies and gentlemen? I have given you all these examples to help you to understand that even though you do not find this statement, behind every successful man, there is a woman in the Bible, life and scripture, you know, have actually taught us that there's a lot of truth in that statement. Amen. So today, as we celebrate mothers, we are not just celebrating women who have given birth biologically. The truth is that being a mother is more than just producing children physically. Because motherhood has to do more with shaping destinies, building futures, inspiring hope, directing paths, standing in the gap. That is what real motherhood is about. It's not about just giving birth to a lot of children. And so that is why on Mother's Day, for us as a church, we just don't celebrate those who have physical children or biological children. But we celebrate even wives, and we celebrate potential mothers as well. And the point that I need you to understand is that motherhood is very serious business. Amen. Amen. And truly, mothers have the power to influence the direction of a child's future, either positively or negatively. So if you are a woman, if you are a mother, understand this, that you have enormous power to influence the destiny of a child, either positively or negatively. The examples that I gave you of mothers who influenced their sons in the Bible were all good examples to a large extent. But in the Bible also, you find stories of mothers who had a bad influence on their children. Classic example was King Herod's wife, whose daughter came to dance for him at a party. And he was so excited. Yeah, I'm sure he had drunk quite a bit. So he wasn't thinking straight. Said, "Ask me for anything, I'll give it to you." This girl went to ask her mother, Herodias, that what should I ask for? She said, "Go and tell him that I want the head of John the Baptist." Is that the kind of gift you should be asking for somebody's head? It's a very bad thing. So there are examples of horrible mothers, terrible mothers in the Bible. By the grace of God, you will not be that kind of mother in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I say this to you, my friends? A child's life is not shaped accidentally. It is shaped intentionally. Should I say it again to you? Your child, whether it's your own biological child or a child that is entrusted to you, somebody's child, a house help, whatever, their lives, are not shaped by accident. If they are going to turn out in a certain way, you have to be very intentional about it. Amen. And one of the greatest destiny-changing forces on this earth are mothers. Yeah. So don't downplay on the power and the influence that you have over your child. And today, for the few minutes that we have left, time is far spent, but we just want to look at the scripture I read at the beginning, the story of Hannah and her son Samuel, and how she did certain things that influenced his future and his destiny. Now, usually when you talk about destiny is like the predetermined course of events in life. That's the basic definition of what destiny is. It's predetermined course of events in life. Now, there are two schools of thought, or there are different philosophies in life. One of them is that things have already been predetermined and you can't do anything about it. So that's why you hear songs like "Que sera, que sera," which means what it is shall be, or what is there is what shall be there, and you can't do anything about it. So there are some people who hold on to such a philosophy in life. But then there are others also who feel that there's nothing like destiny or predestiny, predetermination. There's nothing like that. So however you become in life depends on your own effort, your own hard work, and your own focus in life. If you read the scriptures well and you interpret them correctly, it's actually a combination of the two. Amen. It's actually a combination of the two, because the truth is that there are some things that you cannot change. You cannot influence death. You can't. You cannot influence what people think about you if they made up their minds to think a certain way about you. You can't change it. That's why there's a key statement. Says, do you see?
is great. To wit, no matter how well the hen dances before the hawk is not impressed. And one of the things that you can't change in life is what people think about you, particularly if they've already made up their minds about you. You can't change it. So just live your life. Just move. Another thing that you can't change is opportunities. You don't really control opportunities. They come. And sometimes they go. But you don't really have a certain goal. All you can do is to take advantage of them. But you don't determine which opportunities come to you at what time and at what stage of your life. You don't have any control over accidents. You don't. You may be the best defensive driver in the world, but you don't have control over what will happen to you. Because sometimes when you have an accident, you are even surprised that this accident happened to you because of the kind of driver that you are. You obey all the traffic rules. When you get to the red light, you stop. Are you aware that before the red lights, there's a line that you are not supposed to drive beyond? Most of us ignore that line. But there are some people who are very, very law-abiding. Before they turn, always traffic gator. You know, there are driving rules and instructions, though, yeah, which most people do not follow. And there are people listening to me. I have been telling them, go and get a driver's license. Go and get a driver's license. Go and get a driver's license. When I say, they say they'll go, but they never go. The one who is laughing the loudest is the one I'm referring to. May you ama. Look, there are some things you cannot influence. But ladies and gentlemen, there are also some things you can influence. And when it comes to the destiny of your child, as a mother, you can actually influence that destiny. You can actually take steps to change your child's future, your son or your daughter's future. You can. And for about 15 minutes, I'm going to share with you 5 things that a mother can do to change the destiny of her son or daughter. So, what can you do? What can a mother do to change the destiny of your child? Number one, a mother's prayer can change the course of a child's life. Amen. A mother's prayer can change the course of a child's life. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read it, verse 10 and 11. Let's read those two verses again. So how can a mother change the destiny of a child? The first thing I'm touching on is that a mother's prayer can change the course of a child's life. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly, as she did what? Prayed. What did she do? Prayed. What did she do again? Prayed. She prayed to the Lord. And what prayer did she pray? Verse 11. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Hannah was barren. She was broken. She was mocked. And she was in a lot of pain. But in her pain, she prayed. She didn't become bitter. And can I say to a woman here and a mother here that get rid of the bitterness? It's time to let it go. You've held on to it for too long. And it is affecting your health. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is impressing on my heart to tell you. That some of the health issues that you've been having are connected to the bitterness and the pain that you haven't released. It's time to let it go and free yourself of it. That saith the Spirit of the Lord to somebody here. Hannah did not become bitter because of her situation and circumstances. What did she do? She turned her pain into prayer. And yes, she prayed before Samuel was born. But it is obvious that her prayer influenced Samuel's life. The prayer that she prayed before Samuel was born greatly determined the course of his life. So if you are here and you are yet to have a child, you're yet to get married and all of these other things, the time to be praying about your unborn child is when?
Now.
Never say that, ah, nasa minye boy. Never say that, ah, nasa minye kun. I'm not married. I don't know. So why should I be praying about the child? No. Pray about it when again?
Now.
And even after you have the child, keep praying for that child. Because your prayers can change the destiny of the child. And your prayer, mommy, can change your child's life. So don't just cuddle the child in your arms and sing, "Too, Bobby, too, Bobby. Dada Mela Perma, how will that be?" Is it correct? It's okay, it's okay. Ow, see, Nyamisa o mami wati. Atamfwe kami wesia. Na irade kami hum. It's what? How what? What's the third line? Dada Mela Perma. Oh, yeah, I don't know what it is. How did they be in Bonu, Bonu. Oh, yes, 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 yes. At first, please, that's not all you should do. As you are holding the child and singing, tutu, bovi, add some tongues. Kamayamaloba sabataya yamadi. As you are singing, tutu, bovi, oh God, I commit this child unto you. Bless the child, keep him, direct the course of his life. Dada Mela, how? It's twice. Okay, okay. Dada Mela Pemo, Papa Mela Pemo, how did it vine? You see the way you know the song well. Anytime you are singing that song and other songs for the child, pray for the child. I said you should do what?
Pray
for the child. So don't just give them education. Don't just give them stuff. Don't just buy stuff for them. Pray for your child. What must you do?
Pray
for them. Because they are children who are not destroyed because their mother stood in the gap for them. Telling you. So as you are cooking, pray for the child. As you are doing the laundry, pray for the child. As they are sleeping at night, pray for them. There are times that you should walk silently to their rooms and place your hands on them and pray for them. Pray for them. What's it? Because your prayer can change their destiny. Instead of spending hours on TikTok at night, laughing over reels and short clips, use that time to pray for your child. Look at the amount of time you spend on TikTok, Instagram. If that's what you like, no problem. Of course, there must be things that make you happy, things that relax you and everything. But 2 hours non-stop. Why don't you convert that into prayer for your child? Pray for your child, though. Pray over their future. Pray concerning their friendships. Pray over their marriages, even before they marry. Pray concerning their purpose in life. Pray concerning their education. Pray concerning their spiritual life. Pray for them. Because there are many children who have survived and done well because their mothers prayed for them. Hallelujah. I won't be able to finish, I tell you. So it looks like we'll have to do a part two. But let me just give you one more for today. How can a mother change the destiny of a child? A mother's words can define a child's future. A mother's words can define a child's future. What you say over the child, what you say concerning the child, can greatly affect and influence the child's future. That's why I'm saying to you that you have so much power as a mother, as a woman, that you may not even be aware of. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, there is a place where Hannah was praying. She said, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I'll give him back to you. Then look at what she said. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. She spoke those words concerning Samuel before he was born. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. It was prophetic. Positive words. And it came to pass. I said, it came to pass. All his life, he was the Lord's. But how did it start? It started from the words that his mother spoke concerning him even before he was born. Ladies and gentlemen, words are powerful. Positive words, negative words are very, very powerful. So be careful. Be very, very careful what you say about your son, about your daughter, what you say over their lives. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Whatever you say is a seed that you are planting. It will bear fruit. And when the fruits come, you can't say that I don't like. You like, you eat it. You will eat it by all means. So be careful what you say. So I beg you, please say good things, positive words. Prophesy a great destiny concerning your child. Ati. Prophesy a great destiny concerning your child. Say positive things. Look, there are many adults who are moving through life. They are carrying wounds. Wounds that they received because of what was said to them when they were growing up as a child. And that thing has become a mental prison for them. There are some of you, if not for the grace of God, if not for the grace of God, your life would have been completely ripped apart. And you may have been dead by now. Or wasted your life totally and completely. The things that were said to you by your mother, the things that were said to you by your father, telling you. So don't just open open your mouth, no, then start saying things. There are children who grew up hearing things like, you are useless. You don't have sense. You will never do well. You be a failure in life. You will not marry. You will not have a child. You will never amount to anything great. Your brother is better than you. And those of you who like to do those comparisons, you don't know what you are doing to the child. You are a failure. There are some mothers, when they are insulting their child, it's a whole description. And then they will go into a description. Who does a bucket, a metal bucket? Ah, was that she foam several times of the fantastic account? Now, wa demon away him tea, a ye Jimmy let echo. Don't say those things over your child, no matter how much they provoke you. No matter how annoying they are, be a godly mother and speak life. And mothers, be prophetesses over your children's life. Today, I ordain you as a prophetess over the life of your child. Speak a great destiny. Speak greatness over your child. Speak life over your child. Speak favor over your child. Speak purpose over your child in the mighty name of Jesus. And whenever you are angry with that child for whatever reason, control yourself. Hold your mouth. When you feel that the words are coming, hold your own throat and squeeze it. Don't say it. Now, there are some of you, after today's service, you need to go back and pray and ask God for mercy to reverse some of the things that you said concerning your child. You got to do that. One day in a class, a teacher asked the students what they want to be in future. One will stand and say, I want to be a doctor. Another will stand and say, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a lawyer, and so on and so forth. Then she moved to one little boy and asked him, what do you want to be in future? He stood up confidently and said, I want to be great. So, what do you mean? Greatness is not a profession. He said, every day my mother tells me that I will be great. And so because of that, I want to be great. That's a little child, though. Look, the things that you say to them, even when it looks like they don't understand, it has an impact. I'm sure that the child did not even understand what it means to be great and everything. But the thing has stayed. The thing has stuck in his heart and in his mind. That's what I'm saying to you. Speak positive things over your children. And the things that you say, may God bring every single one of them to pass. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next week, we are going to continue by the grace of God. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. And can we rise to our feet? I was so sure that I was going to finish this message today. So sure. But then again, there are some things I can't change. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons learned. Thank you for the wisdom imparted. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. May we apply the things that we've heard. That there are certain steps, there are certain moves that we should make after today's service. May your spirit guide us into making those moves. And there are things that need to be corrected and rearranged in our lives. Empower us to be able to take the steps that will lead to that. In Jesus' mighty name.
And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but I want you to pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to receive him as my Lord. Yes, I can pray with you. Perhaps you're watching me right now, but you've never taken that decision for the Lord. But Bible says today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I want to pray with you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, wherever you are, whether physically present here or watching online, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you wherever you are. God bless you. Lift your hand up very clearly. Don't hide it. Jesus is calling for you. Jesus wants to be involved in your life. God bless you. And wherever you are, pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with your precious blood. From now, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.